So Women's History Month is over. Now what? If you want to take time off, take it. If you want to make more money, ask for it. And if they tell you no, all you have to do is be a hashtag girl boss and start your own business. But Aisha, it is not that simple. I have imposter syndrome. What? You tell me that 31 days of Women's History Month awareness wasn't enough for you to find your mojo, get your groove back, shatter the glass ceiling, and send the elevator back down for the next gal pal in line? What's a girl to do? I have an idea. Instead of blaming imposter syndrome for your womanly woes, let's confront the real villain, misogyny. Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Session with Aisha, the business podcast for values-driven mental health therapists who want to keep the private practice they work so hard to build. After listening to this week's episodes, my wish for you is that you walk away with a different or deeper understanding of how to recognize the ways in which the mental health industry perpetuates misogyny and have the courage to confront it dead in its tracks. So before we define misogyny, let me be clear. This is not an episode dedicated to bashing men. This is an opportunity to open your eyes to the subtleties of systemic oppression within the mental health industry. There are many types of systemic oppression, and misogyny is one of them. If you're curious, you can find a more comprehensive list linked in the show notes, or if you've attended Saving the Superheroes with me recently, they are listed in your resource guide. And if you have plans to join us for tomorrow's live recording of the Beyond the Session with Aisha podcast, where we'll talk about how to confront misogyny, you're going to need to know what it looks like. So I'm going to reference a few articles that I found online that interview various individuals who define misogyny in different ways. And we're going to talk about different examples of what that looks like in the mental health industry. During an interview with Vox entitled "What We Get Wrong About Misogyny," Kate Mann, the author of Down Girl, defines not only misogyny, but also sexism. Kate argues that misogyny is not about male hostility or hatred towards women. Instead, it's about controlling and punishing women who challenge male dominance. I've had the opportunity to witness conversations on platforms like LinkedIn, where there are people who are socialized as men saying that they wish that there were more male therapists. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with this. When I worked with the Department of Veteran Affairs, the majority of my patient caseload were men. And that's no surprise to anybody because the military is comprised of mostly men. So when we're looking at this idea of being controlled and punished as women who challenge male dominance, we have to really think about those moments that we have noticed that in the absence of men. Another way that Kate defines misogyny is it rewards women who reinforce the status quo and punish those who don't. And when we're looking at the status quo within the mental health industry, one way to challenge the status quo is starting your own business. Most business owners, most founders and CEOs are men. And so when you share with someone, "Oh, I'm starting a private practice," and there is this air about someone that's saying, "Oh, that's difficult to do," or "That's hard," or "What made you think to do that?" Or, "Oh, you know, you'll be back in a few years." Would they say that to someone if therapy was a male-dominated career field? Maybe, maybe not. Kate continues to say that misogyny and sexism work hand in hand to uphold those social relationships. And sexism is an ideology that says these arrangements just make sense. Women are just more caring or nurturing or empathetic, which is only true if you prime people by getting them to identify with their gender. And I really love the fact that Kate says this in her interview because we hear this a lot. Women are more empathetic. Women are more caring. Women are better listeners. Women are more nurturers. So subliminally, women are being nurtured into this caregiver role from the seat of being a therapist. And there are some people that would argue that, "Oh, well, this is an opportunity for men to become more empathetic, more nurturing, more engaged in active listening, but a lot of that is rejected because therapy is not a male-dominated career. Kate continues to say that sexism as an ideology supports the social relations of the patriarchy, but misogyny enforces it when there's a threat of that system going away. Some people might say, oh my gosh, my head is spinning, all these different terms, misogyny, patriarchy, sexism, oh my. This is too complicated for me to understand. I'm going to turn this off right now. Well, I'm going to challenge you on that because I was able to find a lovely article written by students from the American School of London. Their online news outlet is called The Standard. And they wrote an article back in 2022 entitled Internalized Misogyny Limits Female Self-Expression and Success. And I find it very interesting whenever I encounter a therapist who identifies as female and says to me, this is too complicated. I can't handle this. And I just want to give you an idea of some students who are actually turning things on their head and really taking these quote unquote complex ideas and simplifying them in the way in which they see the world. So Olivia, at the time of being interviewed for this article, was wrapping up their freshman year in high school. And for those of you that are thinking, wow, a high schooler had these complex ideas, you have to consider and check your bias, because that sounds a little like ageism to me. But I'll tell you what Olivia said. Olivia said, the patriarchy is a system in which men hold power over all other genders, perpetuating the notion that women are inferior to men, which can lead to women manifesting hatred for themselves. So this idea that you are not smart enough to run a business, that you were never good at math, and so you couldn't possibly understand how to make money for yourself, one could argue that this is internalized misogyny. Olivia goes on to say that within a patriarchal, I love this term because it doesn't look like it should have this many syllables, but the way you say it is interesting to me. It does not roll off the tongue. It is complicated to say and to deal with. So in the patriarchal society that we live in, women are often valued less. Those stereotypes can easily affect a woman and how she sees herself. And I agree with this wholeheartedly. This is not a thing that people are able to escape. We see these imageries and these messages all the time. I need to see myself as less than. I need to see myself as not worthy of. And when we're looking within the mental health industry, this is still happening. So the author of this article, Eva, has defined internalized misogyny in this way. Internalized misogyny can pressure women to have an aversion to items and concepts associated with femininity, from the color pink to long nail extensions. I will link it down in the show notes so that you can read it in its entirety. You know, the beautiful thing about confronting these ideas of femininity and what girl stuff is and is not is fascinating to me. And we see this a lot when it comes to the term of professionalism. When you were working in a traditional office setting, the only time that you were able to dress casually is when you had a home visit. You were able to wear pants or jeans at the very least. If it was casual Friday, or if there was some sort of volunteer event where you were, quote unquote, going to get dirty. But when you're in an office setting, you're supposed to dress professionally. You're supposed to dress business casual at the very minimum, maybe khakis, but maybe black pants. Oh, you're wearing pants and not a dress or a skirt. Oh, you don't have makeup on today. What's wrong? Oh, your hair's not done. Are you feeling sick? So these messages are being played out to us, not only because we are mental health professionals, but because this is how women are often treated in the modern workplace. Still to this day, there's this fun little meme that started going around at the beginning of the pandemic where it shows a side-by-side photo. You've seen them. It's either a fox or it is a female actress. And, you know, on one side, it says what your profile picture avatar looks like. And on the other side, this is what you look like when you turn your camera on. And, you know, it gives you a fun little chuckle, but in actuality, it's like, is that really something that we need to be perpetuating? That, you know, yes, we know that if someone is going to take a professional photo, they're going to take some time to feel confident, because a photo is going to be a little bit more long lasting than a temporary live image that you have on camera. But even if not, dress the way you want to dress, wear what you want to wear, makeup, no makeup, hair done or not, it doesn't really matter. Or does it? There are many people that will say, I will not work with a therapist who doesn't look like they're professional. So we also have to look at the intersectionality between misogyny and all other types of isms or systems of oppression. Some of you might be thinking to yourself, professionalism, that's a system of oppression. Maybe not in the modern context, but perhaps we are using the term professionalism and the act of being professional and being professionals as a way to support these ideas of systemic oppression. So let's move on to one of the hot topics that always comes around during Women's History Month. And frankly, you really can't talk about Women's History Month without talking about the gender wage gap. And so out of the Pew Research Center, the gender wage gap has actually remained relatively stable in the United States over the past 20 years, give or take. And in 2022, they said that women earned an average of 82% of what men earned, according to this new analysis of median hourly earnings of both full-time and part-time workers. So independent of whether or not you were full-time or part-time, the median hourly earnings were 82% of what a man earned. Now, these results are very similar to the pay gap in 2002, okay, so 20 years, when women earned 80% as much as men. So for every dollar that men earned, women earned 80 cents, okay, back in 2002. And, you know, bump that up to 2022, it's 82 cents for every dollar. So we know that we are not spending our money $1 at a time. We're spending more than $1 at a time. So we're just going to bump that up. So for every $8.20 that women earned, men earned $10. And let's just bump that up even more. If you have attended a training with me talking about recurring revenue, or if you've grabbed the 32 realistic recurring revenue streams for a therapist, you have seen the stats that I have added to that guide that are showing you that a dollar is not going as far as it used to. So $100,000 is about what it takes to sustain yourself or maintain yourself, give or take your lifestyle. But that is essentially what the research says out of the Department of Labor and Statistics. So if a man earns $100,000 in salary, how much is a woman going to make in comparison to that? Well, it's going to be $82,000. So how would you feel if you knew that instead of making $100,000, you were actually making $82,000? I think you'd be pretty annoyed, irritated. Insert whatever word you want to insert here. This is technically a family show, so I won't add any expletives, but you get the idea. That would actually make you a little prickly. And so this is not something to be ignored. So here's the kicker. According to Pew, it says that even though women have increased their presence in higher paying jobs traditionally dominated by men, such as professional and managerial positions, women as a whole continue to be overrepresented in lower paying occupations relative to their share of the workforce. This may contribute to gender differences in pay. So what does that tell you? If mental health therapists are not making a livable wage, then that means that we as an industry are actually contributing to the gender wage gap. So again, I ask you, are you okay with this? It's not a matter of, well, why is this happening? We know why this is happening. Misogyny, the patriarchy, sexism. Should I go on? But what are you going to do about it? We'll talk about that on tomorrow's live recording of the podcast, where we talk about how are you going to confront these realities? Because this isn't something that is make-believe. This isn't something that's just like a conversation starter. This is something where we can just have a coffee talk and mull over some ideas on what we could possibly do in a utopian society. No, this is something that needs to be addressed now, because if it's not addressed, then guess what? You're not going to be able to have the lifestyle that you've been dreaming up of the moment you decided to start a private practice and keep it going. Many people that I interact with, not just the people that apply to work with me in strategy sessions and my ongoing individual coaching clients, they have the desire, aspiration, and need to make more money in their business. There are people with families. There are people with chronic medical conditions. These are people that they are ready to take the leap into what they know they need to do. And yet there are many people outside of this fantastic group of folks that I get to work with that are saying, this is too complicated to deal with. I'll just stay in my lane. Imposter syndrome is taking over. I don't think I can do this. The fact that you're listening to this podcast, the fact that you're listening to this podcast episode, should show you evidence enough that you want things to be different. And now it's time for you to contribute to things being different instead of sitting on the sidelines. So I'm going to end this podcast with talking about a subject that really isn't comfortable for anyone to discuss. And frankly, I'm uncomfortable as I was outlining this podcast episode, but the level of transparency that I believe is required for me to show up for my clients authentically requires me to tell you stories about my life. And so there's an article that I found. Again, it is based out of the UK, and it references the term narcissistic misogyny. And they define this as misogynistic partners that may restrict a woman's freedom to work, socialize, or even work out, as they perceive women to be their property and therefore their right of movement should be controlled by a male partner. When we're thinking about the relationships that we have, whether you're in a heteronormative relationship or you are in a situation where your manager is in a position where they are controlling what you do and what you don't do, whether you work from home or whether you work in person, whether you get paid time off or whether you have to work, whether you have to cover somebody else's shift or caseload, or whether you have to take on more clients beyond your capacity. So controlling the way that you move is misogyny, but adding that extra layer of narcissistic misogyny, I think, is very important to attend to. I personally have never been in a romantic relationship where my ambition wasn't an issue. And in all fairness, there have been stages of my life where I have leaned into the workaholic framing of go big or go home sort of mentality when it comes to work. And I've worked very, very hard to resist the urge to go into that. And sometimes it rages, you know, its ugly head. But overall, I'm very much past where I used to be. And I celebrate that every day. The thing is that if you are in a relationship with someone, whether they're a romantic partner or someone that you work for or work with, and they are trying to control the freedom that you have, this is problematic. And the bittersweet element of me telling you this is that I'm speaking from experience, present company included. And if you have someone in your life that is controlling every single thing you do, or attempting to control every single thing that you do, there are opportunities for you to learn how to confront that head on. And does it necessarily mean that they're a narcissist? I don't think so, if they're using narcissistic misogyny, because there are many social science scholars and even, you know, psychologists and psychiatrists who believe that narcissism actually exists on a spectrum. And some people argue that everybody has like a splash or flavor of narcissism to a varying degree, but that's a conversation for a different day. I know that narcissism is one of those buzzwords that's been going around over the past couple of years. But in any event, the point that I'm getting at is that we can see these patterns, not just in systems that exist around us as these vague entities, but we can also see them in the people that we're working with and spending time with. So as a reminder, there's a great resource that is available online, and it breaks down the most common systems of oppression summarized as the characteristics of white supremacy culture. And I hope that you will join us for the robust conversation tomorrow for the live podcast recording of Beyond the Session with Aisha. Tomorrow's live recording will actually take place at 5:15 Eastern Standard Time in the evening. The time was bumped back due to my second guest appearance on Sirius XM with Dr. Radio on channel 110. So if you are a Sirius XM subscriber, I can't wait to be coming to you through the airwaves tomorrow afternoon from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. live. And then at 5:15, you can join me on LinkedIn to listen to the live podcast recording of our episode, where we will talk about how you can confront misogyny within the mental health industry. If you're curious to know about how this opportunity of me being a guest on Dr. Radio came about, I will be sharing the details on the Behind the Scenes All Access channel on Instagram. Access to this channel is available to current email newsletter subscribers. All you have to do is just reply to a recent email newsletter with your Instagram handle, and I will add you to the All Access channel. And if you're not an email newsletter subscriber yet, all you have to do is visit AishaArshabaz.com/thriving and take the path to a thriving private practice quiz, and you're in like Flynn. So until next time, take care, talk soon, and keep thriving.